Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. On this second Sunday of Epiphany, this whole season is for us to help get a better understanding of who Jesus is. I mean, the wise men coming from the east, the star, that Jesus is the Messiah, not just for the Jews, but for all people, the Gentiles, everybody. And then Jesus being baptized in the River Jordan and coming out and God saying from heaven, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." And now today, the wedding at Cana in Galilee. Wow, this is something special. You know, weddings are always special. I've presided over many weddings and married some of you. And they've been beautiful, beautiful affairs. Some of us are newly married. What, 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
2 months.
Yeah. Don't forget the year. Anniversaries are important. And weddings are wonderful, and they're stressful. I mean, planning and everything else. But I remember waiting up front there, because I did many weddings, but I was in one of my own. And I saw Joan coming down the aisle in her beautiful white gown and smiling, and wow. And then when I had the vows, I mean, I've done vows for other couples. I mean, but when I had my own vows, my mouth, that was like I had cotton in my mouth. It was like nervous, but it's wonderful. And as a pastor, you know, to be able to walk with a couple and experience their love and their challenges, and then preparing for the wedding and dealing with the mothers and all that stuff, you know, it's quite an experience. And it's wonderful, and it's lovely, and it gets expensive. I mean, when I first was ordained, I remember we'd have the marriage ceremony in the sanctuary, and then we'd go downstairs for coffee and cookies and a cake. And then it went from there to, after the ceremony, went to the fire hall. And then after that, I mean, for a year, you go to the golf course, the country club. And then there's been destination weddings where everybody goes to like Myrtle Beach or someplace, and then everybody's there. So it can be very, very expensive. But no wedding we have today could be more expensive than the one that Jesus experienced, because these weddings, like a Cana in Galilee, these would go on for a week. And you know, everybody knew, like, their small, Cana was a very small town. And so everybody knew everybody, so everybody was invited, and it was a big festival. And this was wonderful, and the celebration went on and on. And the bride's parents wanted everything to be just so. And then, at this wedding in Cana in Galilee, horror of horrors, the wine runs out. The wet bar is closed. You can't get a drink. Imagine what the bride's parents felt like. I mean, this is all their neighbors and friends and family. They're embarrassed. I imagine they're ashamed. The wine ran out. Of course, the bride's parents panic. But they had a good friend, Mary. And Mary came to the rescue, and she went to her son, Jesus, and she said, "There's no wine." Well, Jesus, remember, he's always in connection with God. And he said, "Well, you know, it's not really our business. I mean, it's their problem. I mean, I'm my time's not ready yet." But being a good Jewish mother, she knew who her son was. I mean, every Jewish mother thinks her son's God. But Mary knew, because Gabriel had told her. Remember Advent, remember Christmas? Gabriel told her, "This is the Son of God." And she believed it. So she said, "Hey, do whatever he tells you. Go ahead and do it." And they do it. And Jesus does listen to his mother and tells the servants to fill those purification jars with 20, 30 gallons to the brim. I wish we had like a screen here, but I could put this on the pew here. But at La Roche College, ever go to La Roche? And at the chapel there, and now it's outside, but there's a big statue, life-size statue of Mary. and she's kind of pointing, and those jars that fill, they come up to like here on me, the ones they have at La Roche, and she's kind of saying, whatever he tells you to do, do. And they fill the water, and the head steward and the servants do exactly what Jesus tells them to do. And the water, that was, wow, mighty fine wine, really good. And this is towards the end of the week, so most people are crocked. So they said, why are you getting the good wine now? So how did Jesus do it? How did he turn the water into wine? Remember in the 60s, there was a show called I Dream of Jeannie. Remember that? I Dream of Jeannie. And Jeannie would grant wishes. How did Jeannie do it? Remember, she'd blink, and the wish was granted. Remember, there was another one called Bewitched. Remember Samantha and Bewitched? And how did Samantha do her magic? She wiggled her nose. Well, Jesus didn't blink, and Jesus didn't wiggle his nose, but he is the Word of God come down. He became human. He took water or bread or fish or mud, down to earth things, and with much love and with the power of God, miracles happened. Jesus said, fill the jars and take it to the steward. And they do. They just obey the word. They did what Jesus told them. They didn't figure it out. And the water turned to wine. Wonderful wine. Mighty tasty, fine wine. And this was the first sign of Jesus' divinity in the Gospel of John. Wow. You know, that's wonderful. And hopefully that inspires us. But it didn't end there. Jesus lives. He's still turning water into wine. How does he do that? Well, as we heard David read from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, every church, every congregation, every one of you have gifts, different gifts. In fact, we have all the gifts we need here to do the work of God, St. Paul tells us. We have different abilities. And then Jesus invites us to be aware of your gifts. Take these gifts, bring them before Jesus, our abilities, maybe to read or to write or to give ideas or to hammer a nail or shovel the snow or text one another or counsel or cook or put salt out or sing a hymn or sing in the choir or help out. You can just take what God gives you, pray about it, and God will use it. It doesn't have to be big. Yeah, we pray for the firefighters in California to put those fires out. And we pray for peace in Ukraine. And we pray for the poor Palestinians who are now starving because of that terrible war and the people in Gaza, what they're going through. But also very down-to-earth things. Your neighbor, your friends being near to you. And St. Paul tells us, these gifts that we bring before God, these are to be used for a purpose, for the common good, for building up the congregation, for building up people, for building up the neighborhood, for building them up and help to Jesus working through you. And there's many ways this turning water into wine can still happen. I was at La Roche Kerr's gymnasium. They have an open track there. And when it's freezing cold, I walk inside. And I was walking the other day, and I saw an old pastor friend. He's a wonderful guy. He's in his 80s, and he's coming in with a walker. And I said, what happened? And he said, well, he had fell and broken his hip. I said, I didn't know. We'd have put you in our prayers. And he said, yeah, and the time it happened, I called my neighbor. The neighbor came over, called the ambulance, helped make sure I was safe, helped make sure, and then he went to rehab at St. John's in Mars. And when he got back home, the neighbor brought lunch and dinner for many weeks. And now he's starting to walk again at La Roche. He's doing supply pastoring. He met two young men, and they were curious about Jesus, and he catechized them, and he baptized them, and now they're Christians. His wine ran out. He broke his hip. But now there's new wine. There's new wine, and ministry continues to happen through him and through the people who helped him. It seems in the Bible, Jesus says over and over again, when you come to me, when you bring what you have and place it before me, I will take it and transform it, and it will become amazing. It will become good, and it will help you and others. I will take what you have and make a joy for others, and you will have joy in your heart by the giving of the joy, the satisfaction of... I was reading, and I've read Exodus many times, but when you read it again, when the manna came down from heaven, not everybody got the same amount of manna. Some people had little appetites. Some people had big appetites. But God gave the manna to satisfy the individual need. And so that's what we're called to do, help other people in their individuality. Jesus is saying today, people become members of your family, the church, your neighbor, anybody, to invite them to become members of the church, the new community in Christ. I had the joy of going to a friend of mine's daughter's graduation from Gettysburg Seminary. And after the ceremony at the seminary, they went for a get-together afterwards. It's a very small venue. It was like maybe holds like maybe 40 people. It's a barn and chairs around. So we were in this one side. He had a cake, and my friend Paul had a cake for his daughter and to celebrate her graduation. But a funny thing happened. He took the cake, everybody got a cake, and then he took the extra cake, and he went to the people that were at different tables. He said, "You want a piece of this cake to celebrate?" And said, yeah. And they were eating cake that people wouldn't even know. And then he started playing a boombox. He had music, and there's a place to dance. And we invited some of the people to dance with us. People we didn't know became friends. They became part of the party. One guy said he had a terrible month. This was the best day of his whole month. His water had turned into wine through Paul's invitation and taking a risk of reaching out to people he didn't even know. And the kingdom of God was experienced. Their water turned into wine. It was a time of celebration. So often I think we feel that when our wine runs out, we got to get it. And I got to get what I can for myself. And if I don't get it for myself and they get it, then that won't be enough for me. Well, if you read the Bible and believe in the Christian tradition, it's saying this is an illusion. Jesus is with us. And where Jesus is, there is plenty. There is time for generosity. The psalmist in Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." It also says in that psalm that my cup runneth over. We are given and we have more than we need. More than we need for a purpose to share with those who don't have. As we center in Jesus, there is abundance and there is no fear, for the Lord will provide. For Jesus will take what we have, the water or a graduation cake or a lunch for a neighbor, and transform it into something holy and life-giving. Now today we're going to receive the Lord's body and blood, the manna from heaven, the wine of a new life. But we're given that not only for our forgiveness and for our communion, but to help us be strengthened, to help make those around us a world where people all are invited, all of our neighbors are invited to the wedding. Right now, I'd like you to help be people that make a brand new wine. I want you to think of someone, a situation where somebody ran out of wine. They're embarrassed. They're afraid. They're anxious. They're depressed. Think about the person. Get that person in your brain. Write that person's name down. Pray about this person. Pray how you can be the little old winemaker in that person's life. The Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will give you that person's face. The Holy Spirit will give you the timing, when and where to respond to that person. And that person in their unique situation and their unique needs. Maybe they just need a handshake or a smile. Maybe they need a phone call. Maybe they need a letter. Maybe they need to be invited out to lunch. Find that person and then act by inviting them. Maybe to church. Maybe out to lunch. Whatever that might be, pray about it. It might be your hairdresser. It might be your barber. It might be the doctor you go to. It might be a friend at work. It might be a friend you walk with. Whatever that might be, think about that. And trust that God's power is with you. And when you use that power, God's power will go through you to the person, to the situation, and will transform that into new wine. Today, Jesus invites us not only to celebrate who he is, the miracle of our God made man, but for you and me to make water of people's lives turn into mighty fine wine. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.